are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, welcome back. We are powered by the SID Media. In fact, Pastor Zebula Dlala is already ready for us to speak to us about faith. It's about, like, when I played that song, I didn't know that, you know, well, I knew we're coming, but I didn't know that it was going to link together. But there's more. Yesterday, we were speaking about all things, us being content, you know, when we're linking it with our faith. And today we're going to be speaking with, can mountains really move mountains? Faith really move mountains? Me is not make sure, but I know the pastor is gonna make it to me. He's gonna balance it and make sure that it makes sure you know where we are actually not okay. Pastor Dlala, good morning. How are you?
A very good morning to you, sir. How are you?
I am fine, Mfundiswam. You are sounding a bit far.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, 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 I can hear you, Mfundiswam. I hope that you are good and you are enjoying the 10 days of prayer.
Yeah, I'm good. I am. I'm already enjoying it. You know, I'm also enjoying the rain this morning.
Hey, on Monday, I asked that, can you please pray for the weather, you know? But you know when you pray, God answers the way he wants. Because I was like, this rain, guys, no, I've got laundry. School's opening, you know, got laundry. But anyway, yeah, we are happy no for the rain.
I'm enjoying the 10 days of prayer, you know, and maybe one highlight I can share with you as we start with our conversation yesterday at Rosebank Church, worship at Rosebank online. Mm-hmm. Pastor Maforo was busy and he had to park at a certain place at Rosebank by the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and he says to us, guys, by the way, I'm not at home. I'm in my car recording. I'm parked by the pantry.
Mm.
You know, took that thought. And I told them I was going to make, you know, parked by the pantry my sermon title this coming Sabbath, you know, because it resonates so much with us. You know, the pantry is a place of food. It's a place where you literally get everything.
Mm.
But people might be parked by the pantry and not have anything and not experience anything, you know. So more becomes less in a sense that you're in the place of more, but you're experiencing less in such a way you're limiting yourself when it comes to your experience with God.
Mm. I'll also give you a sermon title, ne?
sure.
When you pray for better weather, but God gives you rain. Ash, before we get into the crux of the matter, this one, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that God may guide us?
Yeah, sure. Perfect. Our Father art in heaven, Lord, it is my humble prayer this morning as we are going to delve into your word that, Father, you open our minds, you open our hearts, so that, Lord, we learn and apply your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray in us. Amen.
Amen. Mfundisi, you know, we spoke about all things faith. And yesterday, Shem, you really dealt with me, NG. I just have to confess. So today, I hope, NG, you'll be nice, you know, there. But when we're looking at this faith, you know, we get to understand as we grow up that, you know what, Ne, faith moves mountains. And I think it's the words of Jesus saying that if we can have faith as little as a mustard seed, you know. But now I'm like, okay, Jesus, I get it. Pelo, when you're God, you want to now we are just like, even if I have smaller nyana faith, I'm looking at the drunkest bank mountain in South Africa, I'm like, I can't move that. Like, I can't, you know, no matter how much faith I have. But here is the belief that we have, that because we have faith, it's going to move. So can faith really, 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 Mfundiswami, move the mountains in our lives?
Let me start by saying your question is limited.
Mm. Yo, equally some fundis.
Your question is limited.
Mm.
I was thinking maybe you were going to ask me, can faith stop the sun?
Yo, you know, no, can it stop the rain? Because I don't want it to rain.
Can faith stop the rain?
Mm.
I mean, you know, the statement of Jesus in my own understanding is it's not ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are greater things that faith did other than moving mountains.
Mm.
Speaking of Joshua, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 10 that he prays to God and he says, God, You know, can the sun not set until I've dealt with my enemies?
Mm.
And the Bible says that the sun stood still. Whether it was the earth that did not rotate or the sun that stood still, that we leave it up to God.
Mm.
And that is the whole point. Faith can do things that we cannot understand and we cannot explain. Just like one writer says, if you can explain it, then it's not a miracle. If you can't explain it, then it is a miracle. You know, so can faith move mountains? I believe that when Jesus was uttering that statement, with your faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. This was a statement of merism. So in theology, when you do biblical interpretation, there is something we call merism, which basically means that the Bible writer or the Bible speaker will contrast something small with something great.
Okay.
You're talking about a severe and a good experience. Just as Paul says, in sickness, in health, in famine, in everything, nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Mm.
Paul used merism there. And I believe that, you know, instead of taking the statement literal, Jesus was basically saying, you know, with less, you can do more with faith. So can faith do move mountains? Faith can move mountains, but it can do greater things than just moving mountains. It can stop the sun.
And still on that one, Mpundeswame, because, you know, some of our listeners are like, yeah, I hear you, but I'm not interested in moving the Drakensberg or the Kilimanjaro, right? What are some of these mountains that we have in our lives that a person can relate to, you understand? For example, some would speak about jobs, like finding employment, like we've been receiving prayer requests of employment or finding jobs. Would that be our modern day mountains? Saying that when we say faith can move mountains, meaning that your faith can actually lend you that job.
100%. Mountains are what you climb on. You know, mountains. You know, are obstacles in our journey that you know stop us from getting where God wants to be. You know, a mountain doesn't necessarily have to be an unemployment. You know, or you know, sickness and all those physical things. Your mountain can be unbelief and doubt. Doubt can be a mountain, you know. And you know, talking about the priorities of faith, one of the greatest enemies of faith is doubt. That's why the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in his ways because he's a doubtful man, you know. And There are two things that Jesus had a reaction, an emotional reaction at when he was on earth. These two things are faith and doubt or unbelief. Remember, there are two people as well that Jesus, you know, marveled at. It was the centurion and the Syrophoenician woman. And these two were not Israelites. And the Bible says Jesus marveled at their faith. And he said, I've never seen such great faith.
Mm.
But then he also marveled at the people of Nazareth for their unbelief and doubt. You know, familiarity breeds contempt.
Mm.
So the greatest mountain, and trust me, the greatest mountain that we have is doubt, unbelief. Not trusting God, not believing, not just believing in God, but not believing God. You know, because I believe if we deal with that obstacle, then every other thing is gonna fall in line. The finances will fall in line, family will fall in line, employment will fall. So everything is gonna work as long as we deal with this one, you know, bigger mountain, which is doubt. Jesus, the only thing, Zanele, that limits God from acting in our lives is unbelief. The Bible says that Jesus had to move from Nazareth. He never did any miracle in Nazareth. Why? Because the people were doubtful. The Syrophoenician woman and the Roman centurion, you know, were far from Jesus. Were far in terms of, you know, their lineage from Jesus. They were Gentiles. But they had that little persistent mustard seed faith. of saying, you don't have to come to my house, Jesus, you know, only speak a word and I know that everything will fall in place. Only that faith, you know, believing Jesus that he can do it, actually worked towards their advantage. So our biggest mountains is doubt and unbelief.
Mpundisi, today the focus for the 10 days of prayer is business, right? That in simple terms, you know, dangers of being business. And when I saw that, and I was like, they have started. They have started, you know. but you know, as we go on, and also listening to the pastor in the morning, you know, for our morning session there, I was like, this is actually quite interesting, you know. So now, Mpundisi, are there dangers in being too busy with the work of God? With the work of God, Mpundisi, with this, because yes, we dedicate ourselves, hey, like from radio here, when I leave, when I say bye bye here, I'm sitting down, I'm busy with Bible verses, you know, because we record them. After that, you know, I'm looking for who's going to be doing a Bible perspective tomorrow. After that, I'm looking, guys, where are we going on Sabbath? After that, I'm like, yo, we need to have an evangelistic campaign. Like, are there dangers for me being busy, being too busy about the work of God? Or it's God's work. It's God's work, guys.
100%. Now, you know, I liked what Pastor Papu said yesterday when he was preaching at Golden Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
He said many Christians multitask.
Yeah.
And, you know, multitasking is not the fruit of the spirit.
Mm.
Your business doesn't actually prove that you are a genuine Christian.
Mm.
If you're busy for God, you know, in God, in God's work, it is no proof that you actually, you know, are more devoted to God. In fact, you know, I love the scripture that was quoted in the 10 days of prayer, that Jesus said to them, come and rest a while. Mm. And when you read from the Desire of Ages there, one of the reasons why Jesus says, come and rest a while, was because, number one, he did not want them in their business, in God's work, to think that without them, the work of God will stop.
Mm.
So when God says, come and rest a while, it is because he wants to deal with self in us. He wants to deal with pride in us, because the moment we are too busy in God's work, then we think, Ruti, you know, without my presence, you know, in this church, in this radio station, in this pulpit, the church is not going to run. And I like one of the senior pastors when he says, the church, God's work, has existed without you. And even if you are not there, it's going to continue as if you've never had an impact before.
Mm.
So yes, there is such a thing as being too busy in God's work, and it's not healthy for us. When God said, when God created the planet, he rested on the seventh day, not because he was tired, but because he wanted to enjoy the fruitfulness of what he has created. He wanted to reflect, you know, in that which he had created, even though he was not tired, to tell us and to give us a pattern that as children of God, at some point in our lives, we really, really do need a pause.
And as you're saying that, Mpundisi, I wish I was at Golden Harvest yesterday, but I was busy with Pastor Mbata, with Dr. Mbata on egg, you know. You know, when you're saying that sometimes what you were referring to, what Dr. Papu said, this, that sometimes we feel like, for example, I as Zuzanele, for example, I'll say, if I'm not there, AWR will not work, you know. Sometimes we forget that we are replaceable. You know, and not saying that just because it always comes to just because I know that I'm replaceable, it doesn't mean that I must conduct my father's business conducted with mediocre. You understand? Mm. But it means that I take what I can and make sure that I do it diligently and perfectly. And then now I take on the other one so that I don't do it, so that I don't become too busy with the work of God, which leads me now, Mpundisi, is that where now planning comes into play? Is that where now we have to be careful and deliberate in our planning, saying that, okay, I've got a campaign that is going to end in February, for example. Then I'm going to take 3 days days, I'm going to rest and I'm going to switch off my phone, which we hardly do anyway, but ignore church people. I won't entertain church people for these 3 days, you know, yeah. And then I will come back on the fourth day and then I start entertaining church people. And then I go to this campaign. Is that where now we need to plan so that we don't seem too busy? Because sometimes when we are busy, basically there are no results because it's a lot.
No, true. You know, when we're in interviews, there is something we said, but which I think is killing us, that, you know, we say, I can work under pressure.
Hey.
That thing is not there in God's work and in God's scope. It's either you do it perfectly so that you are not under pressure, or you take some time off. You know, and particularly us, as ministers of the gospel, you know, we tend to fill other people's buckets, but little do we fill our own buckets. You know, and one of the purposes of Jesus saying to them, come and rest a while, was because he wanted to recharge their batteries. He wanted to. Pastor Mbata once said that when Jesus went to the mountain, you know, he went to download the power of God so that he comes back empowered, you know. One writer says that, Jesus came to save men. But at some point in his life, he had to run away from the very man he came to save so that he recharges his batteries as well, you know, because he was human. So, yes, of course, we do less we have a less impact by being too busy and multitasking, because our attention is not focused on one thing and we do not or run out of the energy of doing that one thing. So I think, you know, in terms of planning, yes, that is true, Zanele. We need to take some time off. We need to plan our lives. We need to spend time with our God. We need to spend time with our families. You know, poor us as ministers. They might call me now, go to Cape Town.
You are Levites.
You know, and I leave my family. And, you know, that's where the devil comes into my family, my house, because now while I'm focusing on doing God's work, you know, the elders are taking care of my wife.
Hi, Fundisi.
Yeah, man. There is danger in being too busy, man. Where was Adam when Eve was tempted? You know, what was he doing? You know.
I need to recover from that. Okay, you may continue.
No, but that's true. Come and rest a while, guys. You know, God knew, you know, Uguti, we are going to be in the 21st century, you know, where everything is just hectic. You know, it's just hectic. We are workaholics now, you know, and we're not taking a break. We're not taking a pause, you know. So come and rest a while with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus, you know. Yeah.
No, Zukzule Mfundisi Swami. And Mfundisi, you know, I'm really happy that, you know, as much as I looked at that lesson, I was like, but like now it would feel like sometimes, you know, sometimes you do something and it feels like, ish, I think I'm robbing God, you know, I'm not being enough. But I'm happy that we are being reminded that through it all, sometimes, you know, have time for yourself, switch off. I think for my personal story is that, and I know he's listening, there was a time where I was so involved in my work, man, engrossed in my work, that when I get home, you know, my laptop comes with me. I'm doing, yo, guys, I have to post this, I have to do that. There was a time where my husband was like, leave the laptop in the car, you know. So the moment I drive in, I would park the car, I would leave the laptop in there and just walk in with my phone. Because he knows that with my phone, as much as anything else, it's not the same. And the children are able to interact with me even when I'm on the phone. But the moment they see the laptop, they know that mommy is busy. And he knows that, hey, my wife maybe is in a meeting and stuff like that. And it took me, I think, about 2 months for my brain to get used to that. And after that, I didn't leave the laptop anymore. But now when I walk inside the house, I don't touch it anymore. There's something very serious. But it took someone to remind me, like, babe, no one is going to die. God is not going to, you know, relax, 100%. Rest. Because we and get too involved.
You know, let me say this. Hey, this church is cruel. I'm sorry to say this on air, you know, at our church radio station.
Mm.
But the Adventist church, Baba, it's cruel in a sense that when you are retired, you know, when you are retired, they'll easily replace you with someone who's even far better than you were, who will have a far-reaching influence than you did. And people will no longer be saying, hey, Pachu Zanele, you know, when she was there at AWR. They'll be putting fresh blood who will have a greater influence than you did, you know, and they will forget with you. Look at our retired ministers. I know they are watching. I know they are listening, brother. Look at how the church has dealt with our retired ministers. I'm talking about here people who dedicated their lives, people who got into ministry when they were cycling, you know, in the mountains before, you know, they were given cars to drive, you know, people who used to cycle, people who used to do home visitations. They are retired now. And the church has forgotten about them. It's focusing on young blood. About that.
Yep. Yeah, hey, I'm sure you have fire.
Those ministers, you know. So the point I'm trying to drive here is, do you at some point in ministry, you know, at work, wherever, do you? Because at the end of the day, when you do not have strength, when you lose your hands and your legs and whatever, those people are easily going to forget about you because you're not leaving a legacy. But instead, you know, you're just offering your services at the end of the day. So just at some point, you've got to be selfish about yourself. You know, even in ministry, you know, some of us in ministry, when as we tend to do crusade after crusade, week of prayer after of prayer. And we give, you know, our families little attention because we're saying, no, it's God's work. We've got to finish the work. Hey, the work will tire you. You take it easy. Don't be hard upon yourself. Come and rest a while with Jesus. Rest with your family. Because at the end of the day, when you're not there, these people will forget you as if you've never existed.
Yeah. Pundisi, before I let you go, I'm going to ask that, can you please take this prayer request for us? We are praying throughout the whole day, praying. So please pray. Take this prayer request for me, Mpundi Swami. It's from the person's name is Belegazi. It says, "The good morning, saints. My prayer request is for my brother Lungile. Is abusing drugs in the Eastern Cape. I'm afraid of him. I can't take a visit to my home because of him. Please, God, help him." So if you can just take that one for us, Mpundi.
Yeah, sure. Shall we pray?
Yes, please.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much for such a fruitful discussion that we have had right now, reminding us, Lord, that, Father, we've got to have faith, and the biggest mountain and obstacle of our faith is doubt and unbelief. Oh, Father, we have a lot of requests. We have a lot of ambitions. We have a lot of things that, you know, we want you, Father, to solve in our situations. And right now, we just want to test you, not for our sake, but for your name's sake, oh, Father, that, Lord, show yourself in our situations, that you are a true God who is a living God. Father, we pray that you increase our faith. When the disciples were confronted by the same thing, Father, they said, Lord, increase our faith. Father, increase our faith as well. Increase our trust in you because you are trustworthy. We pray for Lungile's brother. We pray for Lungile, who is in the Eastern Cape, oh, Father, who's abusing drugs. Father, we know, Lord, that it wasn't your perfect plan that we as human beings should indulge in such stimulant substances, oh, Father, that are also destroying our brain cells and are limiting our capacity to think. Father, I pray that you deliver him from the demon of drugs in the name of Jesus. I pray for that family, Father. I pray that they experience change, oh, Father, at this moment in time. If there is darkness all over, I pray for one ray of light from heaven to shine in that family so that they do not only have faith, but they also have hope with their brother that you, oh Father, are going to restore him. Father, I pray for these 10 days of prayer that, Lord, they do not become 10 days of presentations and preachings, oh Father, but we truly dedicate time to pray, Father. I pray for our prayer life as a church. We are well informed. We have everything. We have all the resources, the encyclopedias and commentaries and the spirit of prophecy, the books of Ellen White, but we are lacking power, Father. We are a church that is not powerful. Hence, people, when they look at us from out there, they are saying, Lord, this church doesn't have miracles. Father, I pray for power in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, oh Father. I pray that when people look at us, they see the light of and glory that comes from above, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray and ask, amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Dladla, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.